And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us Friday afternoon, the weekend before Valentine's, and a chance of snow. Yeah, all that coming up. And so not a big snow. I mean, not as far as a lot of accumulation. But what's interesting is it is enough to have, they have now issued a winter storm watch. Yeah, for real. Winter storm watch. So, yeah, we're watching that real closely, and we expect that if it's a watch, there's reason to believe it's going to turn into a warning. But the inconsistency of that is that it's not enough. There's not enough precipitation in the forecast to justify a winter storm warning. Anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll look at it in more detail coming up here in just a little bit. Let's get home first. So let me tell you some slow places. I-26 westbound, and it is going to be between the upward exit and the Hendersonville exit. And we're down slow to very slow. And not sure what that is, but it's where Dana crosses. It's not an exit, but where Dana crosses. And again, westbound, not sure. I don't know if something early or not. We have something similar on the opposite side, on the other side of 64. It is between Naples and Hendersonville. It is on the east side, and it is slow to very slow. Little over a mile, I guess, about a mile and a half, and about the same distance down the way, the other direction. They apparently do not appear to be related. There is construction on the eastbound side, but we don't know that it's related to construction. Okay. Also, if we're going westbound, we're off the pace starting in there right around Highway 25, which is the Fletcher exit, and it's going to be just off the pace about halfway up the stretch by Meritor. Then it'll get back to normal to get to the airport. And then we're going to go from moderate traffic down to slow, and that's going to be on and off all the way to the parkway, all the way up. So it varies back and forth till you get to the parkway. Again, we're still talking about westbound. We are showing a crash in Malfunction Junction on the ramp. And if it's where I think it's at, it would be if you're on I-40 going east and you're trying to go into Asheville. So you're to the west of the city and you're going east and you're going to try to go into the Cloverleaf there at 240 I-26, and it would be right there on that ramp. Does not appear to be stalling traffic, but I still am showing that there is a wreck there. All right. Being we're that close in, let me just mention Sardis Road is fine this afternoon. I think everybody went home early. 25A, don't even look like it's rush hour. There is a wreck reported to the north of Asheville. They say it's on the eastbound side, which would be coming down toward town. Can't really, again, tell much about that. The slowdown in downtown Asheville is less this afternoon than we've seen all week, but we do have more slowdown coming down from UNCA and going on the bridge, and so which would be east I-26 west Patton Avenue. So moderate traffic coming down and going onto the bridge right now. All right, going on up toward Tennessee on 26 looks fine. I-40, big backup today. Big backup. Everybody going, it's Friday. Everybody going over for the Valentine weekend in my Pigeon Forge, and we have traffic backed up 1, 2, 3. Let's call it about 3.5 miles, two lanes, and it is stopped. And we are doing the famous zipper merge, And what it amounts to is everything stops, and then one car goes, and then the other car goes, and then the other one goes, and then the other one goes. That's what, yeah. Rather than everybody merge right, everybody get over ahead of time, and keep on getting at about 45 mile an hour, we have chose to do it the zipper merge way, and it has resulted in at least a 3 mile backup today. Add 45 minutes to your travel time if you're planning on going to Tennessee for supper. Go ahead and plan on packing you a snack, because you're going to be a little while due to the famous North Carolina zipper merge by the North Carolina traffic engineers. If we're in the Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, Sevierville area, traffic right now looks to be pretty good. There's still that stretch of road, and I don't know what they're doing, but it's 321 where the river runs in the middle of the road. It splits. 321 going back toward Pigeon Forge. It's slow right there, very slow right there. And again, not sure what that's about. They must be working on that road. I've seen that now for a couple of weekends. But once you get over there, you're fine. It's just getting across the state line is going to be the hardest part. And what's the alternate route? I don't know that there is one. Well, I say that 441, I think, is open, actually. You could cross that way. You can always go through Hot Springs, but, you know, it's about six of one, a half a dozen of another as far as how long out of the way it's going to take you, you know. So, and yes, it is possible to cut up on 209 and cut through there. It's possible. They don't want you to, but you can. I mean, it is possible to go that way, but again, not recommended. Yeah. Well, 209 actually goes all the way up. If you follow 209 all the way through, it comes out at Hot Springs. Yeah. And you cut through that way. All right. Well, that's the top of the mountain. Now, the bottom of the mountain in Greenville, only the southbound in the construction zone there at the airport is slow this afternoon. Outside of that, bound to be. Everybody went home early because Greenville has no wrecks and some of the best traffic of the week. And that's just unusual. Yeah. But we'll take it. How about that? We'll take it. All right. Well, I've got a radar map that is all colored, meaning that we have weather inbound, and it will include, I tell you what, best thing to do is just read that thing in its entirety. Let me pop up here and get it. And winter storm watch, here we go. This was issued at 2:43 this afternoon. It includes Avery, Madison, Yancey, Mitchell, Swain, Haywood, Buncombe, Graham, Jackson, Macon, Transylvania, Henderson, Caldwell Mountains, Burke Mountains, McDowell Mountains. All right, so pretty broad ranging. A winter storm watch is in effect. Okay, so we're getting much more information here than we are in the forecast. So let me back up and let's talk about this with more detail. A winter storm watch is in effect from Saturday evening through Sunday evening. Heavy mixed precipitation possible. Total snow and sleet accumulations of 4 to 10 inches and ice accumulations of up to a slight glaze or a light glaze possible. Winds could gust as high as 40 miles per hour. This is in the North Carolina mountains. This is much more intense than the last one that I saw. So it's from Saturday evening through Sunday evening. Travel could be very difficult. Heavy snow and gusty winds could combine to knock down some trees and power lines. Precipitation may start out as a mix of sleet and freezing rain Saturday night before changing over to mostly snow by daybreak Sunday. Snow will taper off Sunday evening and temperatures will fall below freezing Sunday night. The heaviest snow accumulations will be in elevations above 3,500 feet, and there is more uncertainty on snowfall in the valleys. So again, a very broad forecast. A winter storm watch means there is a potential for significant snow, sleet, or ice accumulations that may impact travel. So maybe not as far out of line as we had talked about yesterday. It's going to be very, very elevation dependent. Okay, very elevation dependent because of temperature. So let's see if I can get back to that forecast. So here is what we have. Now this is Southern Mountains. All right, tonight mostly cloudy, 38, northeast wind 7 to 10. Tomorrow, 40% chance of rain, mainly after 3 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 49, east northeast wind 6 to 11. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Saturday night, rain, possibly mixed with snow and sleet before 2 a.m. Then rain, possibly mixed with sleet, low around 33. Northeast wind 11 to 16 with gusts as high as 25. Chance of precipitation is 90%. New snow and sleet accumulation around 1 inch for Saturday night. For Sunday, rain and snow becoming all rain after 2 p.m., high near 40, northeast wind 9 to 14, gust as high as 20. Chance of precipitation 100% Sunday with new accumulations of snow less than 1 inch possible. So they're only saying a couple of inches for the mountain valleys. Sunday night, 30% chance of rain before 7, partly cloudy, low around 29, northwest wind 10 to 15, and gust as high as 23 miles per hour. So for the Southern Mountains, we're not talking about as significant an event. For higher elevations, we most definitely are. Okay? We most definitely are. So let me just see. Let me see how much it varies. So let me pick some mountain counties and let me see if I can give you a better look at what I'm talking about. And let me see if I can make it do that. Well, it's just going to repeat the same one. Okay. So yeah, it's not breaking it out for me. So it's going to be temperature dependent, and we are going to, but as you heard in the watch, that a winter storm watch, as you heard that, and as it read that, they're saying worst case scenario, 4 to 10, okay, of snow and ice, four of sleet, snow, 4 to 10 inches, and a light glaze of ice. And this is the worst case in the higher elevations. Best case scenario sounds like Transylvania County in the valleys, where we'll only see maybe a couple of inches. Okay, so that's what they're saying. And we're going to, I mean, all I can do is read you what they say. I can't do a whole lot else with that. And this is updated as of 5 minutes before 5 o'clock. So this is the best one. This is the latest one there is. I'm still unsure of the temperatures. I'm still unsure of a couple of things in this. We are at 51 right now, and the precipitation that's in question is coming out of Texas. It's coming out of Texas. The problem is it is coming a little different route. There's precipitation in Texas. There's also precipitation in New Orleans. And so that is heading our way. But I believe the New Orleans batch is going to go underneath us from what it looks like. But it's that next system behind it. I can tell you that there is snow on the backside of the little system that's coming out. Oklahoma City, there's snow and ice on that westerly side of that one. So we're going to keep watching it real close, and we're going to see what the temperatures do. But I will say this, it would be in everybody's interest to make some precautions and to take some precautions, especially if you live on the mountain or if you live places that are hard to access in dry weather, then you probably want to take some precautions in because of this storm, okay? Just want to let you know that. All right. Now, what else in the world is going on? Let's see here. Well, we have this afternoon, we are currently, is what I'm trying to get to. Here we go. We are currently a little colder than you might think. We are at 50. We're at 54 degrees at 5 minutes before five in Asheville. Greenville, Spartanburg, they were at 65, which, of course, very warm. Here at the studios, we're down to 51 degrees. So we're not talking about cold, you know, the ground being cold, and we're also not talking about a situation to where we got frozen ground or cold temperatures, you know, that would cause things to stick. They still can. And if it snows fast enough, also if it rains ahead of time and gets cold, that cools the ground quickly. A cold rain cools the ground just as much. So we are watching all of those elements and, again, take some precaution. On the 10th day of February, the general budget today of Anchor Broadcasting, sponsored by Gary Wilkie and his family in honor of Gail Wilkie, who went home to be with the Lord 1 year ago today at the age of 67. She was a great example of a godly, biblical wife, mother, and grandmother, always putting others first while serving the Lord faithfully. She fought her battle with cancer bravely, using her illness to witness to others while never complaining or blaming God falsely. She gave the Lord praise for his gift of salvation, always saying, "I'm going to be all right." Her family looks forward to a sweet reunion around the great throne in just a little while. Our thanks to the Wilkie family today here sponsoring the general budget. The network budget sponsored by anonymous listeners to the glory of God. On day 16 days out in Sheraton, please pray the Lord will keep sickness away from all of the crew. And this is our first year back, with a full audience and everything. And so pray the Lord keeps the sickness away from the entire crew. We'll appreciate you doing that. All right. This afternoon, Ann Arbor, Asheville, Brevard, Dayton, El Monte, Fort Mill, Franklin, Gordon, Grassy Creek, Greensboro, Greenville, Greer, Hendersonville, Houston, Keystone Heights, Lancaster, Leicester, Manchester, Morrisville, Mount Laurel, North Attleburg, Phoenix City, Plattsburgh, Rock Hill, Spencer, Springdale, Silva, the United Kingdom, the continent of Europe, Weaverville, and West Berlin. Glad to have all these folks with us here this afternoon. All in the roll call, glad to have you with us, all right? We are, where that went, all right? So, not sure where that one went. Anyway, thank you for being with us. God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, and Anchor Broadcasting. Thank you. Thank you so much. Somebody's comment and said, my brother told me that in South Carolina is teaching zipper merge in driver training. It's just a whole lot easier to get everybody over in the right lane way ahead of time and roll through the construction speed zone at 45 miles an hour instead of stopping and taking turns cars going on the interstate. Yeah, I don't know. They say, well, slow down. Well, it's definitely doing that. It is definitely slowing down in the work zone. That's a fact. You can walk through the work zone now. Yeah, that's for sure. 577-1296 is the text line. 828-884-9427. 828-884-9427, that is the voice line. And we are glad to hear from you this afternoon. Be glad for you to weigh in, and we'll appreciate you doing that. Again, love to hear from you either by text, 577-1296, or by voice line, 828-884-9427. I want to remind some folks that we still have some things to give away. Matter of fact, I rolled out some new stuff today. We have got, I don't know how many thousand disposable clear shields, face shields. They're one-time use, like you would use in surgery. And they put them on, they snap around your head, put them on, and then you throw it away. We've got probably thousands of them. We also have some more of the procedure gowns. And what that is, it is a, it's like a smock that you put on backwards, and the material is water repellent. And you can change oil in them, you can paint in them, you can do about anything. They have elastic in the sleeve, they tie in the back, and we've thousands of them, literally thousands of them. And you use it and throw it away. What else we got? We got those little knit things you put over your shoes for service calls. Anybody that goes in anyone's home in a service call, you put those little booties over your shoes, and anything that falls off of your boots stays inside of the little net thing. Yep. We've got sanitizing wipes. We've got, I don't know what and all. It all falls under the category of PPE, personal protective equipment. And I think we put out another pallet of gloves today, the latex gloves. So all of that is free. We also have a bunch of handicap appliances like walkers and canes. There were some crutches. There were wheelchairs, a variety of things like that. We were just overrun. So we put those outside for anyone to take as many as they like. We also have three large checkout lines from a grocery store. And they actually have, they're wired. They have all of the plugs and everything in them. They're actually wired for computers as well. You can, you know, there's a box for computers, all of that stuff. And they also have the conveyor belts in them. And so you can fix it to, if you're, whatever you're making or whatever you're doing in your workshop, where the conveyor belt brings it to you, or a finished product takes it away from you. So we have three of those available, and we will help you load them with a forklift. If you want to bring a pickup truck to get one, we'll help you load it. Okay? Yep, that's what we have. We may have some more stuff, but, what's happened is we had so many things in the warehouse that some things got pinned in. We have had multiple international shipments that were going out. And when that product came in, it pinned a bunch of stuff in, and we couldn't get to it. So when all was said and done, we had more come in than we could get out. More came in than would fit on the containers than would fit on the ship. So as a result, we had some extra. And that's what we're giving away, a bunch of things that we could not ship. And it does not make financial sense to ship it back to the people who gave it, okay? Doesn't make financial sense to do that. Don't know if they're still there. We actually had some cabinets that I set out today. They were used, but they were real wood cabinets. And we set those out today as well, okay? We will be doing some more of that. I don't know about how much more, but there'll be some more probably set out tomorrow. So it'll be out until dark. We don't want anybody here after dark, but you're welcome to come until dark and look. And then starting again in the morning, you're welcome to come and see what's there. No, there's not much food at all. But there's all kinds of other stuff. We have some shirts. They are pilot shirts that a pilot wears, has the bars on the shoulders with a button, the white strap that's got the button and the button down pockets, twin front pockets. They are name brand, but they've cut the tag out of them. We have thousands of them, and they're all signed men's shirts. Be good to paint in, be good for, you could change oil in them. I mean, it'd be fine and throw them away because they're free. We also have a bunch of navy blue children sizes, a bunch, and same type shirt, but they're, most of them are short sleeve, I think. but they're children sizes. And we've got a Gaylord's full outside. What's a Gaylord? A Gaylord is a box as big as a pallet, and it's open top, and it's full of stuff on a pallet. Yeah. There's also a pew that's there that's being given away. I think it's a wooden pew, and so that's for giveaway. I'd have to think back. I don't know what else, but we're glad to put these things in somewhere that can use it. And I've had some people contact me and suggest, well, did you try this? And did you try that? And did you try the other? Here's our issue. I did. I've contacted a bunch of agencies, and most of them say, no, thank you. And so it's not worth our time, effort, energy. And then typically they want it delivered, and we just don't have that capability, okay? So we're going to put it outside, and hopefully folks will take it. And what they don't take, we'll load on the back of the Mack dump truck, and sadly, we will haul it to the landfill. And I always hate doing that because it cost us a fortune to dump it. But we really don't have any option at this point. That's really about the only options that we have. Okay? All right. So your use of it is great, and we hope that you can. All right? And I don't know. Brianna, are we up on Facebook today? We're up? Okay. So supposedly we're up. Are we not up? Okay. So somebody's saying we're not up. Okay. Try back and see if you see it. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, there's, people are still having fun with the balloon. So that was an intelligence gathering balloon. So the reason it didn't fly over D.C., there was no intelligence there to gather. Makes sense to me. So, yeah. One of the things that we know about that unit now, a ranking Pentagon official, a senior Pentagon official who remained anonymous, said that from the aerial reconnaissance that we did of the balloon, that it was hung full of antennas that were definitely being used to monitor radio transmissions, possibly listening to cell phone conversations. Who knows? But now there's reason to believe that some of the equipment on board it was made by the United States. According to one senator, he's saying so. Apparently we've sold some stuff to China that they may have used to spy on us with. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. Let me... we're in a situation that I think I told you that I did not watch the State of the Union. I couldn't bring myself to. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But there are some things that I wish that had been addressed. I wish there was some things that I wish there's some things that had been answered. I had a lot of questions that I wish that Mr. Biden would have answered, but he chose not to. He chose just to raise more questions. Well, I guess my question is, if you're doing such a good job, why is your approval rating only at 41%? Why is that lower than President Trump's? Also, the vice president, her approval ratings are lower than his. I would also ask, Mr. President, if you're doing such a good job, How come only 37% of Democrats want to see you run for office again? Why is that? And I would also have loved to have heard the answer as to why that only 25% of Americans believe that the country is heading in the right direction under Joe Biden. I'd like to have known what the answer to those questions were. And I also, talking about the economy, he said that it's better than it was. Well, I looked it up. Those facts are those stubborn things. And the inflation rate was 1.4% when he took office. And in less than 24 months, spiked it to 7%. How is that? How did that happen, Mr. Biden? And how is it that Americans now, when the 45th president was in office, Americans were paying as little as 2.7% on 30-year fixed mortgages on houses, leading to the biggest boom in housing that we've had in probably in our lifetime? And how is it now that people are paying more than 6.5% for 30-year fixed in less than 24 months? And how is that progress? Also, it's better now than it was. Well, I got some specific questions. How is it that eggs were 99 cents a dozen? They went up during COVID, but they only went to about $2 a dozen, and now they're $7 a dozen. Even during COVID, under the 45th president, beef prices were very low, and now about $15 a pound for steak. And then I had another question. Why are we paying $95 a sheet for plywood? I'm just asking. When the previous administration that he maligned, $2.39 a gallon, that was an average price for gas, $2.39 under President Trump. But Mr. Biden, the national average on the day of your speech is over $3.50 a gallon. And that's after depleting the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And it went to over $5 a gallon in some states. How are we better off than the previous administration? And then it's leveled off in the past little bit, but for the first part of the winter, Americans were paying three times as much for natural gas as they did during the Trump years. Also, I wanted to ask a question. Mr. Biden, why is it that you've allowed over 5 million foreign nationals to come into the United States illegally from over 100 countries, from terror watch groups from all over the world? Why is it that you've allowed that and done nothing and won't admit that you stopped the wall? But you did. And then also have basically villainized border patrols who were trying to protect the sovereignty of our nation, creating a non-existent southern border. Why is that? I also hope that he would explain to us how that the greatest military humiliation since the Bay of Pigs under Kennedy took place on his watch. Kabul. also the draining of the arsenal, of the American arsenal of key weaponry. What about that? The inability to protect our airspace. I don't understand. He bragged about a low unemployment rate. I think a clearer picture of what has happened is not from the unemployment rate, by the way, which the feds want to see go up to 5%. Expect a bigger rate hike in February because of a strong jobs numbers last week. Expect another big hike. We only had a quarter point. Expect maybe a half to three quarters this coming time. Yeah, just adding to our woes. But here's the big issue. The participation rate. The unemployment numbers have fallen, but so have the participation rate in the number of people who are working. Not as many people are now working as were working during President Trump's time in office. Yeah, there's less unemployment, but there's less people working. Also, I mean, this whole thing, and I keep coming back to it, but China being able to violate our airspace with nothing. I mean, they shot it down after it had got through filming, after it had got through listening, after it had got through sending back sensitive information. What if it had been a big bear bomber? And it had made a raid across the continental United States, coming in through Alaska and going out through South Carolina, would we have done anything? I'm just asking. A violation of airspace is a violation of airspace. I'm just asking. What would we have done? We apparently didn't do anything. And I would also ask, Mr. Biden, you know, are you one of these zero population growth people? Are you like so many of the billionaires? Do you want to see the population of the United States diminish? Because I will say this, the flow, the unabated flow of the Mexican drug cartels into the United States is killing about 100,000 Americans a year from bad drugs coming in and overdoses that we can directly link to the Mexican drug cartels. Just asking. And I also wanted to ask about, said that the debt went up under Donald Trump. Well, actually, I guess he shouldn't have said that because it brought attention to it. So we looked at it yesterday, and the debt actually went up under Nancy Pelosi more than any other Speaker of the House. Yeah, almost 50% in her two terms as Speaker. And in just 2 years, his social programs have caused us to have to borrow $4 trillion. $4 trillion. For 2 years. So now we owe over $32 trillion. I mean, when Nancy Pelosi took the gavel for the first time, our national debt was $12 trillion. We spent a third of that in 24 months that we didn't have. And by the way, not bad policy, just flat no policy, no fiscal policy, no financial policy. Americans have lost between 20 to 30% of their 401k retirements on average. And that represents years of hard work. And many now will have to work on beyond their target retirement age because their retirement has shrunk due to no policy. There's just not been a financial policy. Well, do you realize? So we're at $32 trillion. That's what we owe. Do you know what the interest on $32 trillion is? Imagine this. It's approaching half a trillion. It's going to cost us a half a trillion, actually $450 billion just for the debt service. That's what the interest we're going to pay on $32 trillion in debt. And very soon, the interest will be bigger than we can handle. Does that mean that we will default? I'm just asking. And I didn't mention, in lieu of all that, that we left behind billions of dollars of taxpayers' hard-earned weaponry for the Taliban to use. Billions of dollars. We didn't bomb it. We didn't destroy it. We just left it, knowing that they would use it. We just left it. I don't understand. So I had a lot of questions, you know. I had a strong question about the invasion, you know, into Ukraine. And I had a question that I wanted him to address. You know, did he think that his failure in handling Afghanistan emboldened Vladimir Putin to say, hey, they can't even withdraw properly? There's no chance there's going to be any repercussions for us invading the Ukraine. So, and by the way, I didn't understand this too, that the rich don't pay their taxes. That's what I hear. The rich people don't pay any taxes. If you look at the numbers, if you actually look at that, I mean, that sounds good. The rich people don't pay taxes. Okay. Of the 100% of taxpayers, okay, if it's 100% of taxpayers, 1% pay 40% of all income taxes paid. 99% pay the other 60%. People at the top pay 40% of all income tax. And the problem is, when you raise their taxes, they just go offshore. When you raise their taxes, they just move stuff to China. We've already done that. It's been a disaster. And here's another question. We had black officers use lethal force against a black perpetrator in Memphis. And he talked about systemic racism. Now, I know I'm supposed to be colorblind, but you know, I cannot see for the life of me how that black officers using whether proper or improper force against a black individual, how is that racism? You lost me on that one. Did not get that one. I'm sorry. Did not get that one. Tying the attack against Nancy Pelosi's husband to January the 6th? I don't know if he understands that the guy that did the attack against Mr. Pelosi was a liberal. He wasn't a mega fan. He was a grape nut. He was a liberal. How did he miss that? A liberal attacked Mr. Pelosi. But by the way, the anti-gun rhetoric of Nancy, I mean, there should have been there should have been a wall and armed guards and all the rest. I never did figure that one out. Never did figure that one out. I don't know. Anyway, and the whole January 6th thing, there's been suppressed emails, there have been suppressed evidence. I got the tapes. I listened to the tapes of the Capitol Police begging for help and never even got a response from their radio dispatch. Never even got a response. And nobody's talking about that. I don't get it. So, and then at the end, to get up and call for unity. Bipartisanship and unity. Well, I think that probably you've done that, Mr. Biden. There is bipartisanship that you should not run again. All the Republicans believe that. And only 37%, so 53% of your party don't think that you should run again. So in that, there is bipartisanship. There's bipartisanship. About 75% of Americans, Republican and Democrat alike, think that America's going down the wrong path. So we've created some bipartisanship there. Democrats are paying $7 a dozen for eggs, and Republicans are paying $7 a dozen for eggs. There's some more bipartisanship. What about that? So I guess, after all, maybe he has done, formed a real bipartisanship on this thing. And I don't know if you know this. This is not being talked about. He sure didn't talk about it. He said numbers are better. Numbers are improving. Month over month, foreclosures in America. Month over month, foreclosures last month were up by 36% over the previous month. And there was a small to medium city that stands out as having the highest foreclosure rate anywhere in the United States. Anybody want to guess where it was? Fayetteville, North Carolina. Fayetteville, North Carolina had the highest foreclosure rate of any city in America. Yeah. Just say it. And by the way, it's a military town. It's a military town. A huge amount of Fayetteville's income is based on Fort Bragg. A huge amount of Fayetteville based on Fort Bragg. So, I had some questions that I was hoping he'd answer. I did. He apparently didn't answer. Matter of fact, I think that most everybody come away from it kind of shaking their head going, what did we just hear? What planet was that one from? What was he talking about? Goodness. Yeah. Anyway. Somebody telling me that they shot down another balloon in Alaska. At least it's in Alaska this time. The night of his speech, I was going by what I thought, but apparently there was a news media did an approval rating, said his approval rating was at 36%. The one that was shot down today over Alaska, it was the size of a small car, and it fell on the ice when it was shot down. Got a pretty good chance of hitting nothing up there. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, and, oh, yeah. The, you know, class warfare, it's a part of the playbook. Making all Americans on both sides disgruntled, it's part of the playbook. Making Americans distrust their government, part of the playbook. All part of the playbook. Yep, yep. Let me regress to weather here for a second. My MexRad, my weather sentry, they have taken, I was looking yesterday at 4.4 inches, they have removed that. And they're now saying all rain. But they are saying this, there's about an inch and a half in the system, which has not changed. That's consistent with yesterday. Yesterday they were saying about 4.4 snow. National Weather Service is saying about 2 inches of snow. But for our zip code, I'm not showing, I'm not showing any snow. Okay, so, and I'm trying to get up here to a minimum temperature. Okay, so I'm showing that we're looking at about 31. Okay, so about 31 degrees for the low. So, right on that borderline. Once again, I want to tell you what the National Weather Service is saying. They're saying a winter storm watch is in effect. A 100% chance of a wintry mix on Saturday night. Rain and snow on Sunday, ending Sunday night. 33 for the low is what they're saying, 40 for the high. And in the official forecast, they are saying they changed that since I have come on. How about that? All right, so let me reread it. I don't know if they listen or what, but that's changed. Because I read the most up-to-date one there was. Okay, so let me read you the new one. Okay, so here we go again. So let's start with Saturday. Saturday, 50% chance of rain, mainly after 2 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 49. East, northeast wind 6 to 11. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. This is tomorrow. For tomorrow night, rain, possibly mixed with snow and sleet before 1 a.m. Then rain, possibly mixed with sleet, low around 33. They have not changed that. Northeast wind 11 to 16 with gusts as high as 25. Chance precipitation 100%. Here's the change. New snow and sleet accumulation 1 to 2 inches. That is not what they said at 5 o'clock. Sunday, rain and snow, becoming all rain after 1 p.m., high near 40. North-northeast wind 9 to 14 with gusts as high as 22. Chance of precip 90%. New snow accumulation of less than 1 inch possible. So now we've got it 2 to 3 inches for the mountain valleys. At the beginning of the program, it was less than 2 inches. Each day part was less than an inch. And so now they've upped it 1 to 2 and then less than 1. So 3 or less for the mountain valleys. Yeah. And they have just, okay, so they updated it. Interesting. They typically don't do that. They updated it at 5:54. Because the one I read you was at 4:54. So it has updated during the program. And it has updated for the worse. You keep your eyes on that. Because 1 or 2 degrees downward, and if we don't get as warm tomorrow as they think, 1 to 2 degrees downward could make this thing worse. So let me give you once again what the language of the storm warning, storm watch is. A winter storm watch in effect. And this is what they're saying. A winter storm watch, and it gives all the places. Heavy mixed precipitation possible. Total snow and sleet accumulations 4 to 10 inches. And ice accumulations of a light glaze possible. Winds as high as 40 miles an hour for the North Carolina mountains from Saturday evening through Sunday evening. Travel could be very difficult. Heavy snow and gusty winds could combine to knock down some trees and power lines. Precipitation may start out as a mix of sleet and freezing rain Saturday night before changing over to mainly snow by daybreak Sunday. Snow will taper off Sunday evening and temperatures will fall below freezing Sunday night. The heaviest snow accumulations will be in elevations above 3,500 feet. There is more uncertainty on snowfall in the valleys. That didn't change, but the forecast itself did. Okay, well, we'll know Sunday, won't we? Yeah, now our forecast is actually moderated, but the National Weather Service has actually gotten more severe. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Thank you for being with us. Thank God again for His mercy and appreciate God's blessing. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, O Lord, that You'd help us. Lord, we know that we're born, we're raised on this earth. Lord, this is all the world that we know. Lord, we want to stay what we're accustomed. We want to stay what we're used to. And Lord, I'm wondering if sometimes You, like an eagle, stirs the nest, makes it uncomfortable for the baby eagles, that they would be willing to launch out and soar from the nest. Lord, I wonder if You're stirring the nest of people on this earth, Lord, giving us a longing to go home. Lord, help us to be prepared. I pray for that one that does not know Christ and the freedom of sin. Lord, I pray that You'd save them. Pray, Lord, You'd help us to be found faithful. I pray, Lord, that You'd reclaim the backslid and show Yourself mighty. Thank You again for Your love, Your mercy, and Your goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. If you snowed in, don't have church Sunday morning, tune us in. Anchor Broadcasting, Facebook, YouTube, Anchor Baptist, Facebook, YouTube. We'll be here at 11 o'clock, rain or shine. Okay? Till we meet again, I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.